in general, you know, cannabis, anything, you should try to be on like the least amount of medication for the shortest duration possible. That should always be your goal. Now, I don't want to take that so far though that you take away medicines that would greatly enhance and benefit your life, right? Like if something's working for you tremendously well, you may not want to eliminate that. And if you do do it, you definitely want to do it slowly overall. So I think it's careful. We need to be careful not to get too far away from being afraid of being able to use the medicine. Yeah. So some people who have really severe PTSD, they may need to stay on it longer, or some people, they may need the THC at first, but then they don't necessarily need it anymore, but they might still need their CBD. So it does vary quite a bit. And it really just depends upon the person.
Welcome to Your Story Doesn't End Here, the mental health podcast of military and veterans who refuse to be silenced. I'm your host, Rachel, and my mission with this podcast is to be a voice for those who don't have a voice, bring awareness to mental health issues, provide value and solutions, and to change the culture when it comes to mental health within the DoD organizations. Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for coming back for another episode of Your Story Doesn't End Here. Today, our guest is Dr. Mike Hart. He is a passionate advocate for integrating holistic wellness approaches into healthcare. He has a decade of practice in cannabis medicine and is currently the COO of Optimine Pharma, a publicly traded company which focuses on psychedelic treatments. Furthermore, he has an academic background in nutrition and a lifelong dedication to fitness and wellness, which he integrates into his personal practice and his daily life. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Dr. Hart.
Thank you so much for having me, Rachel. Super pumped to be here.
Yeah, so I'd love to just start with laying down some background about where you came from and how you got to where you are today and what you're doing.
Awesome. So I'm from St. John's, Newfoundland. So if you know where that is, awesome. A lot of people don't know where that is. So that's where I grew up, did my degree in nutrition there. Then I went to medical school. So I did 2 years in Saba and then 2 years back in Canada, mostly through Dalhousie and Memorial. And then I did my residency where I'm living now in London, Ontario at Western University, and then just kind of stayed around in this area. So I'm a family doctor. That's what I did my residency in. But about a year after or so, I got out of my residency, I started looking at cannabis. And so right away, I had a lot of patients who were very, very interested, and then came up that, a lot of veterans were really looking for a doctor who would help them prescribe cannabis because they said that, they were getting a lot of relief from their symptoms or PTSD symptoms with, and also chronic pain as well, but particularly with their PTSD symptoms with cannabis use. So I really got into cannabis. That's been a big focus of mine over the last 10 years. And I still work at, two other walk-in clinics too. So I do a lot of, just general practitioner stuff, like sore backs, sore throats, coughs and colds, all that kind of stuff as well. And then I'm also into, psychedelic medicines. So I do prescribe ketamine, which we can chat about today as well. So ketamine technically is actually not a psychedelic. It's actually an anesthetic, but kind of gets grouped into those medicines because it does produce, disorientation and also tremendous mental health benefits. So I can understand why people may group it into that category, but technically it's not. And so that's kind of, full circle of where I am now. So I'm still doing cannabis medicine, still doing a lot of ketamine medicine, and I still do, general practitioner work at the walk-ins and stuff. And I guess one thing I should have mentioned, particularly for your audience, Rachel, is that I did write a book, co-authored a book 2017. It's on Amazon, Why Vets Are Lighting Up and Ditching Pills. And so the reason why I wrote that book is because a lot of veterans, again, have told me, and I've seen it firsthand, that they're getting a lot of relief with cannabis use. So that's a little bit about myself. If there's anything more you want me to share, I can certainly do that.
Awesome. I appreciate that. And so you obviously got into the world of cannabis and psychedelics. It sounds like before it was as mainstream popular as it is today. We hear a lot more about cannabis, especially today, now that it's become legalized in more areas, right? But 10 years ago, that wasn't necessarily the case. So What made you decide to start exploring that avenue of medicine?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, I had used pot before, you know, myself. And so I knew, you know, it could be effective for people. And I, you know, never used it. Like I used a little bit recreationally with my friends when I was younger, like mostly on like the weekends and that kind of thing. But I was never like a pothead per se, just kind of more like a weekend user with my friends. And so, but I understood that, you know, it's very, very good for sleep. So I had used it, you know, a couple times for sleep when I was a resident, you know, when I was having trouble sleeping. And so, you know, when my patients started asking me about insomnia, and I was, you know, prescribing them, you know, whether it was trazodone or zopiclone, you know, kind of the more, you know, common medicines that you would prescribe, I always kind of thought in my back of my head, like, man, I wish I could just, you know, maybe offer them like to smoke a bit of pot too, you know, and not necessarily smoke it. Like there's obviously ways where you can vaporize it or you can eat it, which, you know, can be better for you. And so because of that, you know, I felt like I kind of was like, you know, compelled, like I knew I experienced it personally that like, you know, this can be effective for helping people sleep. And so in 2014, and I only started practicing in 2014, Canada introduced this new system where it was kind of easier for physicians to prescribe cannabis. And so I jumped on that right away. And then, you know, initially I wasn't necessarily like seeing a ton of vets, you know, the ones I did see some that came to me, but I'd see people for, you know, like little babies that had seizures or just people that had, you know, anxiety disorders. And this was also too, just when CBD was coming on the scene, and CBD is incredible. We can certainly talk about that. And so, you know, a lot of my patients were getting tremendous benefit, you know, like right away, as soon as I got into this program and I could, you know, prescribe it fairly easily. And so because they were getting, you know, benefit, I think, you know, the word just got out that, you know what, cannabis, you know, is an effective medicine for, you know, a lot of different things, but particularly for sleep. And so, you know, the ball just kind of kept rolling.
So let's talk a little bit about the negative things that come up when we talk about psychedelic medicine or even cannabis, because I think that's the number one concern when we talk about, especially a military affiliation, is a lot of people have concerns. Now, there's obviously negatives to the trazodones and, you know, all the mental health medications that are prescribed as well that aren't necessarily talked about. You know, there's a pamphlet that's kind of passed off and here you go, read this, and you know, the questions aren't really answered, but I think it's important to address these things because it maybe would help destigmatize it a little bit. Because then we can now talk about the positive side after, but I want to start with talking about what maybe some of the negative side effects would be. And maybe who wouldn't be a recommended, you know, patient to use this type of medication, but I'll let you expound more on that because you know a lot more about it than I do. But what are some of the negative things that come up when we talk about cannabis and psychedelic medicine?
So for this discussion, I mean, it's mostly just going to be like THC, because THC is what, you know, really has the negative effects. Right. CBD, I'm not saying has zero, but, you know, it's mostly the THC that really scares people. So, you know, the biggest thing with THC, and people probably can almost guess what I'm going to say, is that, you know, it can potentially induce, you know, schizophrenia or cause someone to have a psychotic episode. So, you know, if you do have a strong family history of like bipolar, schizophrenia, any of that kind of stuff, I would really kind of just stay away from THC. I mean, there may be, you know, a way where you could, you know, introduce CBD to a very high dose. And then you could say, you know, maybe 4-to-1 CBD to THC, and then, you know, maybe to get to 3-to-1 to 2-to-1. But, you know, even then it's a little bit wary. So I would, if you're, you know, have a strong family history, again, of mental illness, particularly with bipolar or schizophrenia, you know, I would probably try to stay away from high doses of THC. The other thing with THC too, is that, you know, people don't like talking about this, but you absolutely can develop a tolerance to it. And I can share with you, you know, my approach about how to not develop a tolerance to it as well. But, you know, if you are using what I called, you know, unopposed THC, basically just means THC without any CBD, and you keep on using it over and over, eventually you will develop a tolerance. And then you're going to be getting to a point where you're not using the cannabis to treat your symptoms. You're just using it so that you don't get the withdrawal effects anymore. And so you really don't want to get into that category, because like I said, you want to be able to treat your symptoms with these medicines. You don't want to be using these medicines to, you know, effectively treat withdrawal symptoms. And some people will laugh when I say withdrawal symptoms from cannabis, but you absolutely, like, talk to anyone who uses high THC all the time and then tell them to go a day or two without using THC and see what happens. Right. So there's definitely some, like, you know, pretty heavy withdrawal effects there. So, you know, those can kind of be the biggest ones. Like, you could also say, you know, some people say, oh, you know, if you smoke pot, it makes you lazy and that kind of thing. I don't really buy into that as much. I think that's more of like a personal choice, and you could get lazy with just watching TV all day. You could get lazy with, you know, a million different things. And so, you know, I don't necessarily think that like pot is necessarily responsible for that. In those instances, what I'm saying is that that person would have been like that anyway, right? You know? And so I don't buy that too much. And then some people think that, you know, it can cause weight gain. And this is a really kind of strange one, but if you look at all of the data, literally like all of it, cannabis users always have a lower BMI on average than non-cannabis users. Now, some people may say there's a little bit of a healthier user bias there as well. Like, people who use cannabis may be in some ways, you know, a little bit more thoughtful about what they put into the body than the non-cannabis users. But, you know, considering how many people use cannabis, it's kind of hard to believe that argument. So there are some kind of hypothetical underlying mechanisms why that may be true, but hard to really know, you know, for sure why. But those would be some of the bigger kind of, you know, negatives. I'm not saying that that's, you know, all of them, right? But those would be the bigger ones. And obviously, even if you don't have schizophrenia or a family history of schizophrenia, that, you know, you can get paranoid, you can, you know, hallucinate, particularly if you're using high dose edibles. Okay. That can give people, you know, a really bad time. You can just have like a bad trip per se, right? So yeah, you want to be really careful with how you're using cannabis, particularly with high THC, because it does have some negatives.
So how heavily monitored is when someone comes in for a prescription cannabis or even psychedelic usage? It sounds like you are recommending like a certain amount of THC in certain ways that your patients can not become dependent or, you know, immune to the effects of this medicine. So how heavily are you monitoring these patients and their intake?
So, you know, I have a pretty basic approach for new people. Like, say, if you're a veteran, or even if you're not a veteran, you have PTSD and or chronic pain. I should mention chronic pain too, because a lot of people do use it for that. And as you know better than I do, you know, a lot of people who have PTSD also have chronic pain. So, you know, when people come into my office and I want to be able to treat them, but I don't want them to get dependent on THC, this is my approach. So first of all, in the daytime, you know, no THC. That's my goal with all my patients. In the daytime, no THC. So just high CBD oil. You know, obviously there's, you know, some patients who have like really, really severe back pain, neurological issues, and that kind of thing. And, you know, unfortunately, they may need a little bit of THC to help them get them through their day. You know, it's either that or, you know, opioids for some people. And I think that, you know, cannabis has been shown, I think most people agree, that they're much safer than opioids overall. And so, you know, if you can, just try to use CBD in the daytime. And I'll explain why a little bit further. And just on that note too, this is a good segue to talk a little bit about how CBD can actually decrease learned fear. And essentially, you know, that is what PTSD is. You know, it's learned fear, because like a lot of my vet patients, one of the big questions I ask them is, you know, who gets the groceries in your house? And it's always, you know, I have a lot of trouble with it and that kind of thing. And, you know, obviously that's a learned experience. Like, no one's born afraid to go to the grocery store, but, you know, through trauma, through life experiences, we develop, you know, these things that we become fearful of, and, you know, things that we shouldn't become fearful of. And so CBD can help decrease that. So again, moving on from the daytime to the nighttime. In the nighttime, I'll offer patients to just use CBD, and probably about 15%, maybe 20% of my patients can get away with just using CBD at nighttime. So again, that's close to like 1 out of 5 people, which is pretty significant. But for a lot of people, they do need the THC, because the THC is what really helps get rid of the nightmares. And then also too, like I said, a lot of the patients that have PTSD also have chronic pain, and THC can be pretty effective for treating chronic pain. So in the nighttime, what I get them to do is use a blend of CBD and THC. And the reason why I want people to use a blend as opposed to just pure THC is, like I said earlier, if you do use, you know, again, what I call unopposed THC or THC without the use of CBD, you can develop a tolerance to it. But I find that when my patients use a blend, they don't develop a tolerance. Now, I'm not saying that within the first few months, you may not need to increase your dose, because you know, need to fool around with it until you find that perfect therapeutic dose for yourself. But, you know, in the first 3 months, once you get past that, and once you find a dose, I find that with the patients that use CBD and THC, they almost consistently can use the same dose for years and years. Whereas when you get into higher doses of THC, they kind of just go all over the place.
So is this something that patients have to use for the rest of their lives? Or do you have a demographic of patients that learn the skills or mechanisms to cope with, or I don't want to use the word cure necessarily, but no longer feel the need to use any kind of substance to help them live their day-to-day lives?
Well, 100%. So, you know, in general, you know, cannabis, anything, you should try to be on like the least amount of medication for the shortest duration possible. That should always be your goal. Now, I don't want to take that so far though, that you know, take away medicines that would greatly enhance and benefit your life, right? Like if something's working for you, you know, tremendously well, you may not want to eliminate that. And if you do it, you definitely want to do it, you know, slowly overall. So I think it's careful. We need to be careful not to get, you know, too far away from being afraid of being able to use the medicine. But coming back to your question, yeah, so some people, you know, who have really severe PTSD, they may need to stay on it longer, or some people, they may need the THC at first, but then they don't necessarily need it anymore, but they might still need their CBD. So it does vary, you know, quite a bit. And it really just depends upon the person. But in general, you know, the worse the injury, the worse the PTSD or the chronic pain, you know, the longer they have to be on it. And, you know, PTSD is something that is very, very difficult to overcome, but people do overcome it all the time. Like it does happen. With chronic pain, yes, some chronic pain can get better, but some chronic pain, you know, just doesn't, you know, right. There becomes a limit. And so for those patients, you know, they may need to take it for the rest of their life, unfortunately. But right. Regarding the mental health aspect, I mean, you can certainly, you know, reduce your use of THC and even reduce your use of CBD over time.
That's incredible. Because I know with a lot of the pill form medication that a lot of doctors prescribe, a lot of people are dependent on that for the rest of their lives. And a lot of times in my experience, especially using, you know, an SSRI, I found it to be less effective after time. And that can be, from a patient perspective, it can be very frustrating to feel like I'm out of options. Now, I want to talk a little bit on the active duty side. I know that a huge debate and argument when it comes to especially cannabis usage with active duty military is the cognitive effects. And, you know, so I know when we talk about things that are legal here in the US, especially, you know, alcohol is legal, cigarettes are legal. Obviously they have cognitive effects as well. What is the, for someone that is following your protocol and using CBD during the day, THC in the evening time, what is the span of the cognitive effects? How long does that last? If, say, someone takes THC, CBD blend at nighttime before going to bed and they have to wake up for work in the morning, how long is that affecting them cognitively to where it may potentially negatively impact their ability to make sound decisions?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. So what I will say is that, first of all, it's completely dose dependent. So, you know, the more of that blend you take at night, yes, you know, the better you'll probably sleep, but also to the higher chance you are of being groggier in the morning. So, you know, the dose is very, very important there. In terms of the half-life with CBD and THC, you know, it kind of varies in the literature, but it's usually somewhere between 4 to 8 hours, you know, let's say like 5 to 6 to kind of be safe. And so generally speaking, when people wake up in the morning, most of it is gone. Now, some people will say that, you know, they feel a little bit groggy in the morning when they take it. Now, some people also just feel kind of groggy in the morning almost every day anyways, yeah. You know, even the best of us, like I've even heard like Andrew Huberman say that kind of stuff before, right. You know, so some of it is kind of, and is difficult to say, but a lot of people will say that like once they get up and have their coffee in the morning and they get going, everything is fine. But in terms of the cognitive impairment, I think that's pretty limited if you're using a blend and if you're keeping your THC, say under, you know, 30 to 20 milligrams, like in that range, you'll probably have, you know, pretty minimal cognitive deficit. If you're, you know, using beyond that dose, I could potentially, you know, see maybe some mid-morning, you know, to even afternoon. I mean, it also depends upon the person, you know, so, you know, you have to know yourself, you know, whether or not, you know, how you feel cognitively is like how you feel cognitively at your best. Like you should know that. And right. So just as like a feeling. So, you know, if you know that, and then you take the medicine and then the next day you don't feel as good, then, you know, obviously you need to back off on your dose, and you may not need to eliminate it, but you probably will need to at least back off on your dose.
So it sounds like just any other type of medication and starting a new medication protocol, because it's not an unfamiliar thing to the world of medicine to try something new and understanding that it might have side effects.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, like, you know, if you're looking at under 30 milligrams of THC with a blend of CBD, I mean, the grogginess that comes with that in the morning, there hasn't been a study done on this or anything, but I could imagine that it's not going to be any more than what you would get from, say, you know, a medium dose of Zopiclone or Trazodone or any of the other commonly prescribed sleep medications.
Okay. So speaking of studies, what are some of the long-term study results that have come from usage of cannabis or psychedelic medicine?
So, I mean, long-term studies, unfortunately, don't really exist because, you know, we just kind of started prescribing these medicines. So I'm not really even aware of too many studies that are, you know, beyond like a year kind of thing. So I can't really give you a great answer on that question so far. But what I can say is that, you know, if you do use cannabis responsibly, like especially, you know, when I say responsibly, I mean by, you know, not using high THC all the time, then I think your chances of having any long-term cognitive deficits are going to be very, very minimal. And, you know, there's even a lot of evidence indicating that CBD can actually be effective for reducing cognitive impairment. So overall, you know, that's not, I don't want to say it's not a great concern of mine, but I don't feel like it's going to, that the research is going to eventually show that, you know, this is really producing massive declines in cognition overall.
So as we have come into this world where CBD has become more of a mainstream thing, I mean, you can basically go anywhere on the internet and get CBD, right? What is your recommendation for people that maybe want to start implementing CBD or CBD THC blends into their day-to-day regimen as far as quality and figuring out what's going to be the best product or a better product for them?
Okay. Well, I know I'm probably going to get some hate for this, but, you know, I am a doctor. So, you know, I do think you should talk to your doctor about it because, you know, it is a medical condition. If you're trying to, you know, use CBD, you're probably trying to treat anxiety. You're probably trying to treat pain. You're probably, you know, trying to treat something, right? So I think you should go chat with your physician about it first and see what all the options are and to make sure that, you know, CBD is in fact the best option for you. And then, you know, once you, generally speaking, anyway, in Canada, you know, if you see a physician, then you have access to the MMPR program, we call it here. And then, you know, you can then access, you know, all of the regulated products, which are, you know, free of, you know, pesticides and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, then that what's on the label is actually what's in the bottle. So, you know, those are the main things that you want to do is you want to go to your doctor and then you want to make sure that what's on the label is in the bottle. So, you know, make sure that it's, you know, regulated to some degree, because if you go in, I don't know, you know, all about the America's systems, but I don't know, you know, if all these dispensaries, if the products in them, if they have what's actually contained in them is on the label. And so I'd be kind of wary of that. And I'm not sure how the best system to make sure that you do that is, but that would be my recommendation, is to find out how you can know for sure that you're that the product that you're getting has what it says is contained within it.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the state. I mean, I'm in a Washington state where it is legal here. So there's a lot more information here compared to a state where maybe THC is illegal. But I know that a lot of places you can just go buy CBD at like a gas station or a grocery store. And I personally wouldn't trust that product, but you know, I'm not saying that they're necessarily bad. It's just, it's hard to know when there's so much out there on the internet or you can easily access something. And I don't unfortunately know the standards. I don't think it's regulated at all. So I think it is really hard to know, but that's really good advice. Now, if someone maybe couldn't go to their doctor, say they live in a place where THC is not legal, but CBD is, and they just have questions. And I know, just being fully transparent here, there's quite a few doctors out there that bring their personal biases into their practice as much as for they sure shouldn't. Is there information that you have out there that people could research or get their questions answered? Or is there an avenue where you would recommend that someone go just to do their own personal research if they can't get the answers from their doctor, just to learn more about it?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, when I was on, and I made a video about this. So when I was on Joe Rogan about four and a half years ago now, talking about cannabis, what I did was I went to a website called examine.com, and I use this website for not just for cannabis, but for a ton of like nutritional information, supplements. There's lots of great stuff there. So they will give you like basically anything that you want to know about cannabis is on that particular website. So it's examine.com. And then they have one page that's actually dedicated. When I say page, I mean, it's probably a couple hundred pages there, but they have one tab that's just for CBD. And then another one that's for marijuana, where they kind of talk about THC and blends of CBD and THC. So that would probably be the best place to go to. That's where I, you know, went to, and that's how I prepared for Joe Rogan, as I just read that. I printed out everything from that website and made it into booklets. And then I basically just studied that for a few weeks. So that'd be the best place to go to.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure to put that in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that out. And thank you so much for sharing that resource. Where can the listeners find you? What are you working on? I know you mentioned that you have the book out there. That's an incredible resource. I'm really excited to grab a copy myself. But what else are you working on, and where can the listeners find you?
Sure. So, you know, I'm right now, like I said, like I'm still, you know, working at three different clinics overall. So I'm pretty busy, but I have my own podcast. I actually had a military member on there today, like we were talking about before the show, Andrew G. Huff, who's kind of been making some waves with Robert Kennedy recently. And then I'm on Twitter, and I'm also on Facebook and Instagram. It's all at Dr. Mike Hart.
Twitter X is what it's called now, right?
Oh yeah, it's yeah, called X now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
It's going to take me a while to switch that up, I think.
Yeah. You know, I never was a Twitter person. I downloaded Threads, and I'm still not huge into it, but you know, social media is wild. I'll make sure social to post all those links for anyone that wants to connect with you and check out what you're doing. But thank you so much for taking the time to come on here and answer some questions. I learned a lot myself, and I think that when it comes to these still somewhat taboo topics in society, people have questions that they want to ask, but maybe they just aren't comfortable asking them. So thank you so much for being that voice for people that don't need questions answered and don't quite know what avenue to go to. I'm going to leave you off today with our last question, which is if you have any advice or any last words that you want to leave the audience with today.
Sure. Well, appreciate, you know, you giving me this opportunity. And, you know, what I will say is that, you know, if you are interested in cannabis, you know, like I said, don't go down the like high THC all the time route. I think that's, you know, going to lead to like poor results overall. Like, yes, I bet you'll feel amazing, you know, initially, and that might even last for, you know, a few months, but eventually, you know, it is going to wear off. And so, you know, I think that's, you know, probably the biggest message that I have for people out there is that, you know, particularly for veterans who are looking to use cannabis, is that don't go down the high THC route and just use it all the time, because eventually it is going to backfire.
Thank you for taking the time to listen in today. With your support, we are able to increase awareness of the mental health issues affecting service members and veterans today, with the goal of creating positive change. If you got value from this episode, please take 30 seconds to subscribe and share this episode within your own network. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your mental health matters, and your story doesn't end here.